It's not that you, it caught you unaware, but you said no hurricane is going to drive me off the island, and present yourself in a very brave light. I tried to email Larry to see how he survived. Evidently, he sends my emails to spam because I never heard back from him. But I'm glad that everyone did survive, and with as little damage as we incurred. Usually, Sandy Miller keeps me informed regarding the ladies' Bible class. And I didn't get anything from Sandy, and so I didn't put anything in the newsletter this week. Come to find out, Sandy had surgery this week and had partial hip replacement. And that explains why she didn't send me the information that you heard, that the ladies' class will be meeting for their Bible study this next Tuesday at Dana and Iris's home. But I understand that Sandy is doing fine, and we're thankful for that. She cannot have visitors at this time, as you can well understand. But Sandy's had the surgery, and we all wish her and her family well. We've been looking at various scriptures that give us personal strength whenever we go through a time of crisis. And today's lesson is based on Psalm 116. If you have your Bibles, you can follow in the text, because we will use this psalm as the basis of our thoughts. Psalm 116. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary, or some translations give it, I like better, the simple-hearted. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, Lord, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. As I get older in the faith, I rely more and more on the theme that God is so close to each of us and loves us with a very personal love. In Psalm 116, the word I is used 9 times and the word me is used 7 times, but it is not an egocentric poem. It is a song about deliverance, about love and compassion. The extremity that the person felt when he realized the Lord had heard his voice as he cried to him, save me, Lord. The extremity is in these words, verses 3-4. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and by sorrow. A person's voice is very distinctive. Identity may be established by a person's voice. My brother-in-law, Jack Scott, cannot whisper. And I recall a story that a friend of mine told Charlie Hodge. Charlie Hodge was a great preacher. I had him here over the years speaking to us on a Sunday morning. Charlie died last year. at age 90. But one time Charlie was here, and he knew my brother-in-law, Jack Scott, and he said, I was in Love Field, and it was in a crowded area. And I heard Scott's voice, and I knew it was him, and I went and found him. And I thought, well, isn't that amazing? A whole group of people there, and one voice stood out. And when he heard it, he said, that's Jack Scott. And he went and they met each other in the airport. We have machines that can tell whose voice is used on a tape recording or any other type of recording. Even if it is an unknown person at the time, the experts with their machinery can tell exactly who was doing the talking by measuring the voice. That's how distinctive our voice is. I was surprised when I started practicing law that the voice is so distinctive that a lay person, by that I mean a non-expert, can testify as to whose voice that person heard, even though they didn't see the person. And it may have been over a telephone or in some other ways they heard the voice. If they know the person and had heard the voice of the person before, they can testify that was the person that was speaking. That's how distinctive one's voice is. And so the psalmist says, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice. The psalmist says that not only did God hear a voice, but that the Lord recognized whose voice he heard. Out of the many voices speaking at the same time, can you imagine that the Lord recognized his voice and then he listened? Agnostics ridicule us who are believers because we pray. We pray about personal problems. We pray about personal needs. And these agnostics say to us, if there is a God, I'm sure he has more important things to concern himself with than your petty requests. But before we shrink away in embarrassment that we ever had such a thought, let us remind ourselves of Psalm 116. I love the Lord. He heard my voice. A believer insists that God knows the believer's voice, and this is consistent with the care that the Creator has given on all of us. You recall the passage in Matthew chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus says, in talking about anxiety, are not two sparrows sold for a penny, yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father? And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You're more valuable than many sparrows. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And so it is part of our faith that God is so personal to each of us and we are so personal to him that when we pray, he hears our voice. That's very similar with what Jesus taught us. Remember when he talked about the shepherd and the sheep? He says, the sheep know me, I'm the shepherd. But then he says, and I know the sheep by name, by name. So it's not simply some cosmic creator that we stand in awe of. It is a father who listens to us whenever we find ourselves in extremity. Years ago, the most precious insight came to me when I realized that the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray in the phrase, "Give us this day our daily bread," encompassed far more than the meal that we eat. It encompasses everything that we need to make through the day. Give us this day whatever we need to make it through the day. Now, it was not about a petty problem that the psalmist had uttered his voice about. It was about a problem in which he feared death itself. You know, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. "The cords of death entangled me," he said. "The anguish of the grave came upon me." He thought he was going to die. Some of you may or may not have been in that position where you've been so ill that you thought, "I'm going to die." And you know the anxiety that comes with that. "I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. I was in great need, my soul almost delivered to death. My eyes filled with tears. I had difficulty walking. I stumbled when I tried. I was greatly afflicted." And he knew he could not help himself. That's another important thing to realize about this psalm. When he cried out to the Lord, "Save me," he had come to realize he could not save himself. And so he had to pray that the Lord would hear his voice. Sometimes the crisis that hits our lives is not of our own making. It's not our fault. I think of the story of King Hezekiah in the Old Testament. His story is found in the book of 2 Kings. King Hezekiah was a good man. Isaiah was the prophet at the time of his rulership. But 2 Kings chapter 20 tells this story. "In those days Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, went to him and said, 'This is what the Lord says, put your house in order, because you're going to die. You will not recover.'" I am very sympathetic to those in the medical profession who have to give the bad news to loved ones, especially if all that has been done has been unsuccessful. I wouldn't have wanted to be Isaiah to go to the king and to say, "Put your house in order. You're going to die. You will not recover from this illness." Then the story says Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. "Remember, O Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion and have done what is good in your eyes." And then Hezekiah wept bitterly. Before Isaiah had left the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him, "Go back and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, go back and say to him, 'This is what the Lord, the God of your father David, says. I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will heal you. On the third day from now, you will go up to the temple of the Lord, and I will add 15 years to your life.'" I love the Lord. He heard my voice. Now, illness is something normally we don't bring on ourselves. Like many troubles, many of our problems in life are not because we have done something wrong, but because of circumstances that have come our way or because what other people have done to us. I wonder, does the Lord hear our voice when we have been our own problem? I mean, here is Hezekiah with an illness that he did not control, and he'd been a good man. Yeah, I think maybe the Lord might hear a person who prays in that circumstance, but what if you just are the problem itself. You caused yourself the problem. It's not what somebody else has done to you. It's not because of circumstances that came in your life. You simply have really created for yourself a crisis. And so I want to tell about the second story. It is the story of a prophet. The prophet Jonah was told to go to Nineveh, that great wicked city, and to preach against Nineveh. And the prophet Jonah thought the Lord had forgotten temporarily that those were Gentiles over there and not worth saving anyway. And he didn't want to go. And I can see several reasons why he would not want to go. He was a Jewish prophet. If he went over and lived among the Gentiles for a time, he would be tainted by his fellow Jews. And he had grown up to believe the Gentiles weren't worth saving anyway. And so he didn't go. Instead of catching the ship that went toward Nineveh, he caught a ship that went in the opposite direction. And you remember the turmoil that in the storm that came upon that ship. And finally, Jonah was thrown overboard. And a fish that the Lord had prepared swallowed him. And he said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord." This is from Jonah chapter 2. "I called to the Lord in my distress, and my distress was my own doing. And he answered me. From the depths of the grave I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, 'I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward Jerusalem and the holy temple.' The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. The seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me forever. But you brought up my life from the pit. O Lord, my God, when my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord." And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Now, Jonah caused his own problem. You and I are so easy to dismiss people who, well, it's their own fault. I mean, that's a pretty good reaction to something that happens to somebody. Well, they had it coming. Does the Lord even hear our voice when we cry to him because we screwed up? And the answer of Jonah is yes. He heard my voice. Well, I can understand kings like David and Hezekiah. And I can understand prophets, they're special people. But will God hear my voice? In the 5th and 6th verses, the psalmist says that the Lord protects the simple-hearted. Who are the simple-hearted? They are the common people, the nobodies of society. And that teaches us that the Lord protects the simple-hearted as well as kings and prophets. And with this week, one of the stories of Jesus resonated with me. I don't know if I've ever preached a sermon on it, but I've loved the story since I was a child. Because it is a story that tells how much God loves just everyday people like you and like me. Jesus told this story. A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servants to tell those who had been invited, "Come, everything is now ready." But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I have just bought a field, and I must go and I must see it. Please excuse me. And another said, I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I just got married, I can't come. And so the servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became very angry and ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, but there's still room. Then the master told the servant, go to the highways and the byways and make them come in so that my house may be filled. What a wonderful story. It's the story of how much he loves people like you and like me. You don't have to be a king. You don't have to be a prophet. You don't have to be anybody. I recall a word that the Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Romans. You know, the church at Rome was surrounded by very celebrated, great people, movers and shakers of the world. If you read the Roman history about all the emperors, their names, and all the important people, and the senators, I mean, there the little church at Rome was located in their presence. And I suppose that they might get the idea that they were part of the movers and shakers. They were in Rome. And so the Apostle Paul wrote these words to this church in the midst of all this glamour and all this power. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. That meant the slaves who became Christians, even if you were a muckety-muck, that was a brother or a sister in Christ. That's what that meant. I memorized this out of the King James. It says, condescend to men of low esteem. And I like the newer translations much better because low esteem, sometimes we think of people having low esteem, but it's not that the people had low esteem, it's how they were viewed by other people. And so it says, you associate, be willing to associate with people of low position. He asked this question in the psalm, how can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? He says, I will lift up the salvation, the cup of salvation, and call on the name of the Lord. In Jewish tradition, this is one of the psalms that would be used at Passover. A cup would be lifted in thanksgiving for the act of God who saved the Jews from the Egyptian slavery. The cup of salvation. Likely Jesus and the apostles sang this hymn when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper because it was part of the Passover celebration. I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord. This is repeated twice in Psalm 116. A promise is repeated twice in the space of a few lines. People make serious vows to God when they are desperate and afraid. They make serious promises to God when they're desperate and afraid. And then when life returns to normal, they neglect or forget those vows when the crisis is over and time passes. That always amazes me. I have made vows to the Lord and I have been very serious about keeping those vows over my lifetime. I will sacrifice a thank offering, he says to you. Now, the thank offering is something that was above and beyond the tithe that they were commanded to give. I practice thank offerings myself. I commend them to you because I'm so grateful for God who has answered prayers in the deepest time of my life. And a thank offering might be something that you have escaped, something that illness that you've gotten well. It might be because of that. Or a thank offering might be a special blessing that you receive out of the blue. Something wonderful happens in your life. Whatever it is that you're thankful for, you give a part of that in addition to what you've already pledged to the Lord. That's the thank offering. And I do that. And I commend you to do that because you will feel better about it. You will appreciate it. It will be meaningful to you because you know this is because God has heard my voice. I would like to know more and more about God, wouldn't you? And the reason why in the last few weeks I've talked on the verses I've talked about is because more and more I see God as not a far off being waiting to judge me, but as my ever-present comforter who is there to help me. And I recall what it is said of Jesus now, at the present time, that he is at the throne of God, bearing our petitions, and this statement about him, for he's not unable to feel the failures that we have, because he was tempted in like manner, yet without sin. And because he is able to understand us, he is able to present our request and our needs to God. And that strengthens me, and that helps me in my Christian life. We're going to stand and sing two verses, please, of this song that's been announced. And if you're subject to the call of Christ to confess your faith, to be baptized, or to have prayer, you can come to the front. Always stand to sing.
Thank you, Alan, for that very consoling message. And want all of us to think to ourselves of this message, that God hears us. He wants to hear from us. He wants to speak to us, to tell us through his written word of what it is he asks of us. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. Thank you for your message. Thank you for your messenger. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the many ways that you communicate with us. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we remain open. Remain open to your word. Remain open to sharing your word. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we continually rely on you when things seem blighted, that we rely on you, Heavenly Father, because within the context of your written word, there's an answer to every situation we come in contact with us. We pray, Heavenly Father, we continue to rely on you, and we do those things necessary to bring others to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're dismissed, folks.